I am Lena van Tolberg for Biz News. The recently signed Expropriation Act by President Cyril Ramaphosa has become a highly contentious issue, drawing attention even in the United States, where former President Donald Trump issued an executive order inviting South Africans to immigrate. One major concern highlighted by the Institute for Race Relations, or the IRR, is the potential negative impact this law could have on banks' ability to extend capital. Well, to help us dive into this issue, we have IRR researcher Anlu Keefe in the business studio. Anlu, welcome to business.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Well, you flagged something really important. So how does the Expropriation Act cast doubt on, was it the market value of property?
Yeah, so essentially what the Expropriation Act does is it weakens the certainty that banks actually rely on when they assess your property as collateral. So what that means in simplest terms is that traditionally banks will give you a loan, but on the assumption that if you can't repay that loan, then they'll be able to recover their losses if they sell your mortgaged home at market value. But then this act comes in and it completely disrupts the certainty. Perhaps it's worth it to just, before I actually mention how it disrupts the certainty, or this assumption that the banks can rely on, is the fact that when I speak of property, property is not only limited to land or house, as we'd normally think of it in general terms. So it can be anything from a gold coin to your bicycle, if you own a bicycle. I just used the example of a house or land because it's the most widely applicable and it's the simplest to understand. So to get back to how it breaks up or disrupts the certainty is that the act introduces the risk that now the government can come and they can take your property for less than its market value, or your land for nothing. And according to the act, then you as the owner of that land or house, you're still responsible for any debt that you made to purchase that property. So if you receive compensation from the state, then yes, generally, some of that would be used to help repay your loan or your outstanding debt. But even while you're still responsible for it, if your compensation is null, you still have to repay the full loan. So what this means is then you can end up in a situation where you're paying for your house or piece of land, but you no longer own it, which just sounds like a nightmare to me. You not only now lose your property, you have to look for new accommodation. You still need to repay your old debt. And in many cases, the property was generating an income. If it's a rental unit, you now lose that stream of revenue too. So to answer your question, when I say it casts a doubt on the market value of property, it creates a sense of uncertainty in the market, in the property market. Just the mere risk of expropriation of property, the mere risk that your property can be taken away, it makes property less of a reliable investment. And it completely disrupts the market confidence. So if banks tighten their lending and buyers start to actually hesitate, then property values could drop. I think it's important to draw attention to one specific point here is that I've heard quite a few times people say that, okay, but I'm renting. Surely I'm fine. Very bad news for you. You are definitely not safe. None of us are. Because now the property owner has to deal with increased risk on their property. So rent will just become more expensive. Simply put, the Expropriation Act just completely risks destabilizing the entire property market.
Well, have you seen any signs in the property market or from banks that this is a risk?
Well, so what we've heard is that dating back to 2020, we've heard from the Banking Association of South Africa. They very clearly stating, and back then it was a statement made directly to Parliament, a warning that they extended, in which they said that it can certainly cause a long-term effect on the banking sector and the stability of banks. Because what happens is, so if you think banks rely on their collateral for their to actually recover their losses that they make. So what happens is now that bank can't rely on collateral. Okay, so wait, let me explain it in this way. It's perhaps a simpler way to explain. You as the owner, you are still responsible for paying back your loan. So at the risk of sounding repetitive, even if you receive compensation from the state, you still have to repay it. Compensation is null, you still have to repay it. So people will be unlikely, people are more unlikely to be able to afford their outstanding debt, and the risk of them defaulting is much higher. This will leave banks in a very bad situation where they now have bad debt and they have no collateral to recover these losses. So the more cases that this starts happening in, the bigger the risk at the end of the day for financial institutions to start writing off massive losses and for weaker bank liquidity. So if this escalates, then struggling banks will start to put direct pressure on National Treasury, who will then need to start stepping in to rescue failing banks. And the problem here is that what happens, so we haven't actually seen many instances of expropriation. There's a rare instance or two that has come up in the media where there's actually mentions of maybe an expropriation here and there. But the mere fact that property can be expropriated, the mere fact that it is law, introduces such a sense of uncertainty into the market that the consequences are almost unbelievable. Well, it is unbelievable, but it's incredibly hard to deal with. And at the end of the day, the person who will bear the cost of this, yes, the banks, and yes, the financial institutions, but it's the ordinary South African.
So we haven't seen signs of this yet. So do you think we are going to see that? Because, the government says they're not going to, wide-scale expropriate land, and they're not going for people's houses. So, when do you think this might actually be a risk, or we actually see banks acting on it?
So, yes, absolutely, in fact. I think banks operate on risk assessments, and when the risk and uncertainty increase, they are forced, essentially, to adjust their lending criteria. So banks forced by legislation to tighten their lending condition will at the end of the day mean higher interest rates. So on an individual level, that means your loan costs more. It will mean stricter requirements. So the person who will bear the burden of this is the first-time home buyer, the small business owner, whoever has a weaker financial profile. So it's ironic, actually, that those are typically the people who rely on credit to actually enter the property market in the first place. But it just means less lending overall. So in fancy language, yes, we haven't technically seen it play out, but a credit squeeze is inevitable. It doesn't happen overnight. But as risk perceptions grow, it is certain that we will start seeing a decline in home ownership. Less construction activity. And so even before expropriation happens, just the mere fact of this law that exists, it will set in motion an entire sequence of tightening lending conditions.
Well, also, do you think we could see a wave of defaults?
Yeah, very easily. I think... So I've explained it already, but it's important to explain the concept. It's important to turn back to the first principles of this. So you as an owner, you're responsible for paying back your loan. You receive some compensation from the state. You can use that and pay off your loan, but otherwise you're still responsible for it. So people start failing. They're not able to pay off their debt. They can't afford it. They default. Banks is sitting with bad debt. So when this happens, there's a bigger risk of more institutions having to write this off and escalate this 5 or 6 times, you have a struggling banking system. And that places a direct pressure on National Treasury. It can likely be in the form of some form of bailout, which we as South Africans are very tired of by now. The moment the state needs to step in to actually start rescuing failing banks, it just places an unplanned burden on a budget that really can't be stretched anymore. So we then have to also contend with the risk of further credit rating downgrade. And we're just starting to be hopeful for a better credit rating this year. So there's very serious consequences. But the important point I want to reiterate and make again is that the biggest loser of this act is the ordinary South African. It's them who will bear the cost. Yes, the bank will see a wave of defaults, but it will, at the end of the day, cycle through to the ordinary South African.
You've had a couple of aggressive interviews today. So what are you saying to people? Say, this is alarmist. I mean, this is not going
to
happen.
Yeah, well, I say to that, there's too many instances and examples of this that we can still say that it is alarmist. Examples are so common around the world. I mean, if we take history as just shown, and I'll give a more specific example in a moment, but history has shown us that if you take places like what we witnessed in Zimbabwe and Venezuela, both places where the government started taking people's property without paying for it, and it came at the cost of economic confidence, a term of, I think, often neglected. Economic confidence is the basis of a stable and a growing economy. So yes, some argue that South Africa will be different, that the banks and the businesses will remain secure, or no, they won't come to take your house. But I mean, even in Zimbabwe, there was houses in Harare that weren't expropriated, but their value still collapsed. It collapsed anyway. So yes, I suppose it might come across as fear-mongering, but it certainly isn't. We don't have to speculate. Zimbabwe and Venezuela and many other instances have already shown us the outcome. And if South Africa goes down that same path, the damage is not going to be curable. It'll be very, very real. And again, the average South African, every single one of us will bear that burden. Just as a note, perhaps, on investors, to state it very simply, if the government doesn't do away with the newly introduced legislation as it relates to the Expropriation Act, sorry, there's many other legislations as well, but investors should stay away. And that sounds alarmist and that sounds like fear-mongering, but it would be irresponsible for an investor to let themselves be reassured by government assurances while the Expropriation Act remains in place, in its current form at least.
So what steps do you think could be taken immediately to reassure both domestic and international investors in light of these changes?
Well, quite simply, repeal the Expropriation Act. Send it back to Parliament. And so the IRR has made a series of recommendations if it needs to be amended, which it does need to be amended. But if it gets to the point where it is only amended, then there is IRR recommendations. There's a series of 8 of them that we've put forth in a petition to the president himself. I'd be happy to go through some of that, but it's available on our website to whoever is interested. But government needs to publicly communicate that private property is their top priority. And I say that because property rights it's for any economy that wants to grow and attract investment, getting property rights right is the very first, the foundational step that they need to take. So the best way to avoid this kind of financial disaster that we've spoken about in this session, ensure that the Expropriation Act follows clear and predictable rules. Government needs to send a clear message that property rights are well respected. And if banks and investors and homeowners, again, the individual, if homeowners know that the rules won't suddenly change, then financial stability can improve and the economy can start growing.
Okay, I wanted to ask you about lessons from other countries, but you said that. So, you know, mostly this debate is currently framed in terms of geopolitical risk and because, you know, of the comments of Donald Trump. Do you think actually we should look at it more domestically? You know, what changes could it bring in South Africa than concentrate on being bullied by the West?
I think the comments that came from the U.S., they pointed to a very real issue in the country. They pointed, although I should mention, it is a very sensitive topic. So it is important to mention that everything said was not true. But what is true is that there is a very real issue of race-related legislation. And as long as that and any risk at a person's private property rights is in place, the country will not be investable. As I said earlier, investors would be irresponsible to bring their money here. So yes, I understand that Trump made a statement, and I understand that much of the statements made in a more international arena certainly does have an influence on South Africa and our investment and our trade. And I'm pretty sure we'll see that play out over the longer term. But immediately, what we need to focus on is getting our things right domestically. It is important for South Africans to speak out and to say that us as ordinary South Africans, like us, we, me, you, we want to see it is not, sorry, it's important for me to mention here that it's not only the privilege that's affected. It's simply not true. We as domestic South Africans, we who live here, if our economy collapsed, it is the poorest and the most vulnerable of us who will suffer. So at the end of the day, yes, take knowledge, acknowledge that it happens on a geopolitical sphere, but get our policies locally right so that we can start growing and stabilize from here on out.
Well, Anluki from the Institute of Race Relations, thanks so much. That was really interesting.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.